the good Christian, or sermons on the chief Christian virtues by Father Francis Hunault, translated from the original German edition of Cologne, 1740, by Father J. Allen, D.D., Emperor Martyr, Bishop James D. Ricard, copyright 1891. On the Advantages of Gratitude to God, preached on the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. St. Matthew chapter 7, verse 33, Introduction. What a good and generous God we Christians have, my dear brethren, provided we only make it our first care to serve him truly and lead Christian, pious, and virtuous lives so as to gain heaven. We can leave to him and his providence the care of all that concerns the body, its nourishment and well-being. He will look after it and see that we want nothing that he knows to be good for our salvation. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we were not wanting in piety and childlike confidence in God, how well would it be for us, not only in spiritual, but also in temporal things? But at the same time, I cannot help thinking, what a debt of gratitude we owe that good God who means so well with us. Last Sunday, I began to speak of this subject, and I showed how the Lord God deserves and expects a constant gratitude from us mortals, and that too with the utmost reason. For everything we have in and outside ourselves is a pure gift of the divine generosity, from which he has no profit whatever except his honor and glory, and in which he has no other motive but to do us good. Now I continue and mean to explain in detail what I barely alluded to in the last sermon, namely, that the Lord, in seeking this gratitude from us, does not look for any advantage for himself, but rather for us, so that I might change the words of my text and say with confidence to you, be only grateful to God for the benefits received from him, and all the other benefits that you can wish or desire will be added unto you, as I now proceed to show. God expects us to be grateful for the benefits he confers on us, his sole object therein being that he may be able to do us still more good. Therefore, we should at once offer him our constant gratitude for even the least benefit, and give him thanks unceasingly. Such is the whole subject. That we may understand it, and thus be enabled to be always grateful, we beg of thy grace, O good God, by the intercession of Mary and of our holy guardian angels, then shall we experience the truth of thy promise. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God, etc. If I could say with full confidence to a poor beggar who does not know where to find the next mouthful, listen to me, my good man. If you are not ashamed to beg, I have a capital plan to propose to you, which will place you above the reach of want all your life. Therein that street lives a very rich man who never refuses to give when he is asked. He is most anxious to share his wealth with the poor. All you need to do is to declare to him your poverty once only, beg him humbly to help you, and then thank him for what he gives you. If you do that, he will give you twice what you ask. If you thank him again, he will again put his hand into his pocket. And if you do not cease thanking him, he will never cease giving you more and more every day. What would you think of that, ye poor people? If I were able to point out such a man as that to you, and you believe my words, would it not be exactly what you desire? Would you not be most willing to pay the required due gratitude? In my opinion, you would endeavor to learn how to make the most profound obeisances and reverences in order to give to such a good man the thanks due to him. What is cheaper and more easily purchased that which you buy with gratitude alone? But there is no beggar who is so simple as to believe in the existence of such an individual. Nor do I myself think that the world has ever yet seen such an example of generosity. For if a man of that kind were anywhere to be found, he would soon be surrounded by such a concourse of poor people that his wealth, no matter how great it might be, would dwindle away in a short time. My dear brethren, all of us on this earth are poor, needy beggars who have to knock at the door of the Almighty Father and Preserver of the world to ask for alms. The so-called goddess of fortune, when people were in the habit of ascribing to mere chance their prosperity or adversity, and to say, that man is a favorite of fortune, that other is not so, was a mere creation of the poets. All that we have and are comes from nowhere else than from the hand of God's providence. God alone is the giver and dispenser and server of all the goods we have or hope for. With reason, then, does the Apostle St. James say, every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no change, nor shadow, or alteration. Therefore, he who is in want, whether as regards the soul or the body, temporal or eternal goods, must have recourse to the Almighty God. And, oh, how easy it is always to have audience with this Lord, any day or any hour. He awaits our petitions with the greatest desire to share with men the treasure of his gifts, which cannot be exhausted, no matter what calls are made on it. The only return he expects for his gifts is gratitude, and the only reason why he expects that is that he may be, as it were, compelled and forced to bestow still greater and more numerous benefits on us. If I thank a man who has done me good, I am still under an obligation to him and am still his debtor, for he has a right to demand a favor from me. If I thank God for the good he does me, he places himself under an obligation to me for my gratitude, and becomes, as it were, my debtor, for he binds himself to repay me for my first act of gratitude with a fresh favor. Such is our Lord, says St. John Chrysostom, that when we show him our gratitude and acknowledge him as our benefactor, he becomes still more liberal in bestowing his gifts on us, for he does not require us to be thankful because he is in need of our thanks, but that he may enable us to reap the fruit of our first act of thanksgiving by giving us new benefits. Gratitude, says Albert the Great, opens the fountain of the divine mercy. The greater and more constant the gratitude of the soul towards God, the more is the divine goodness compelled to shower down its favors on that soul. Almost in the same words did Theodora Anchira address the Council of Ephesus. The divine benefits are measured out according to the gratitude shown for them. Therefore, If you give thanks for what you have received and acknowledge with grateful hearts your benefactor, you have not only done enough in return for what has been bestowed on you, but you have also compelled your benefactor to be still more liberal in showering down his favors on you. Such, too, is the teaching of the holy fathers and doctors of the Church. This is what our Lord means by the words he makes use of in the Gospel of St. Matthew. For to every one that hath shall be given, and he shall abound, but from him that hath not, that also which he seemeth to have shall be taken away. Everyone that hath means, according to St. Denis the Carthusian, everyone who is grateful for what he has, and more will be given to him, but he who is ungrateful for what he has will lose it. Such, too, is the teaching of the example of Jesus Christ. For it is most worthy of note that almost invariably, before performing a miracle, especially one that was particularly beneficial to men, he first gave thanks to his eternal Father. When he was about to feed the hungry multitude in the desert, and had not more than 5 barley loaves at hand, what did he do? And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down. Mark how, after he had given thanks, the few loaves were multiplied to such an extent that 5,000 people had enough to eat, and there was left as much as filled 12 baskets. They put up therefore and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. When about to raise Lazarus from the dead, who had already been 4 days in the grave, he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and as the evangelist says, began by giving thanks to God. Then Jesus, lifting up his eyes, said, Father, I give thee thanks that thou hast heard me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came to life at once. That most wonderful of all miracles, and at the same time the greatest benefit he has conferred on us, namely the Blessed Sacrament, in which he has given us himself, God and man, as the food and drink of our souls till the end of the world, he did not wish to institute until he had first given thanks. For as the priest says on the altar in the words of the evangelist, who the day before he suffered took bread into his sacred and venerable hands, and having raised his eyes to heaven to thee, God, his almighty Father, giving thanks to thee, blessed, etc. The same happened when he changed wine into his precious blood, for the priest continues. In like manner, after he had supped, taking also this excellent chalice into his holy and venerable hands, giving thee also thanks, he blessed, etc. All this, says Cajetan, is to teach us that our petitions for future gifts should arise out of our gratitude for preceding ones, and also that gratitude is the best means of increasing and multiplying, even miraculously, as was the case with the loaves and fishes in the Gospel, the gifts and graces of God we already possess. Just souls have always had happy experience of this. When the divine anger was about to destroy the whole sinful world and all its inhabitants, the patriarch Noah and his family were saved. But Noah found grace before the Lord. And why was Noah the only one who found grace? Why were he and his family saved when all the other inhabitants of the earth were drowned in the deluge? He had not employed that favor of God, for he knew nothing of the impending calamity until God revealed it to him. And yet, God had resolved to save him even before he asked. What was the reason of that? What great merit had Noah in the sight of God more than others? Hear what St. John Chrysostom says in explanation of this, representing God speaking to Noah. Thou art the only one whom I have found grateful, and therefore, when all the others are perishing, I command thee and thy family to enter the ark. For the people of those days were like brute beasts in their forgetfulness of God, and they ascribed the temporal goods they enjoyed to nature and their own industry, so that they did not thank their Creator for them. Noah, on the other hand, acknowledged with grateful heart that he owed all to God, and hence he and his family were saved from the general destruction in regard to his gratitude, although he had not asked that favor from God. Again, after the deluge, God was fully appeased and made not only to Noah and his family, but to all their descendants that magnificent promise, I will no more curse the earth for the sake of man. Never shall it be again inundated by a deluge. I will no more destroy every living soul as I have done. What moved God to make this promise? Nothing but the gratitude of Noah, for hardly had that holy patriarch set foot on dry land when, as the scripture says, he built an altar unto the Lord, and taking all cattle and fowls that were clean, offered holocausts upon the altar as a thanksgiving for being saved from the flood. He so pleased the Lord thereby that he received that promise for himself and his descendants of never again being afflicted by such a calamity. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor and said, I will no more curse the earth. He says, De Lyra, how man, by being grateful for one benefit, can merit another. Thus Noah, after the benefit of being saved, received that of security. King David, considering the benefits he had received from God, cries out in astonishment, What shall I render to the Lord for all the things he has rendered to me? He does not say, What shall I render to the Lord for all the things he hath given to me or bestowed on me, but all the things he hath rendered me? Why, what does he mean by that? To render means to give a person something I am bound to give him in gratitude. Was God, then, bound to give David anything out of gratitude? It seems, says St. Basil, as if David was the first to give, and God then gave him something in return. What did David give? Gratitude. He thanked his God for the benefit of creation and preservation. And this gratitude was looked on by God as a benefit for which he should make some return. It was as if they were vying with each other as to who should make the best return. God gave to David. David thanked him. God rewarded this gratitude with fresh favors. David again thanked God. This gave a fresh impulse to the divine liberality. And so, since the gratitude of David was unceasing, God could not stop conferring favors on him. This is was that excited David's astonishment. Oh my God, he exclaimed, how is this to end? What shall I render to the Lord for all the things that he has rendered to me? When Anna, who had long been unfruitful, at last bore a son, Samuel, she hastened to offer him to the temple for the service of the Lord in token of gratitude, and she intoned this joyful canticle. My heart hath rejoiced in the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord is, for there is no other besides thee. and there is none strong like our God. Anna was now quite satisfied. She had obtained her request, for she had given birth to a son, and she desired nothing more. But God was not satisfied with that, because Anna showed herself grateful to him, and therefore he too had, so to speak, to show himself grateful to her. And the Lord visited Anna, says the scripture, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel became great before the Lord. See, says St. John Chrysostom, when Anna gained by this transaction, that is, by her first act of thanksgiving, God gave her 5 children, which she never asked him for, because she showed herself grateful for the first child he gave her. The same assurance was given by St. Jerome to a noble lady named Letha, who had consecrated her daughter to the service of God. I tell you confidently, said he, that you will have sons in return for having given your eldest child to God. God cannot allow gratitude to go unrewarded, for he looks on it as a benefit conferred on himself, which he is bound to recompense by fresh gifts. In the life of the holy monk Theodosius, we read of a lady who was richly endowed by God with the wealth of this world, because she was always engaged in thanking him, and employed her riches in works of Christian charity and piety and devotion towards God, her benefactor. Now it happened one day that her little son, as he was playing with his companions, fell into a deep well. Everyone thought that he would either be drowned or at least break his limbs. But when they came to the well to pull him out, they found him sitting on the top of the water, quite unhurt. When asked how it was that he did not hurt himself by the severe fall, he answered that a religious held him up, so that he sat on the water unhurt as if he were on solid ground. The mother, hearing this, gave herself no rest, going from one convent to the other with the view of finding out her benefactor and thanking him for the great service rendered her. At last, she came to the convent of St. Theodosius, and as soon as the boy saw that holy man, he cried out, "See, mother, that is the monk who held me in his arms in the well." The mother then fell at the feet of the holy man, who knew nothing of what had occurred, and thanked him with tears in her eyes. There are 2 reflections suggested by this incident, my dear brethren. The first is the great gratitude of this woman, inasmuch as she was not satisfied with the joy she must have felt at having her son restored to her, but at once set to work to find her benefactor and thank him. Would to God that we always felt equally grateful to God, our sovereign benefactor, who daily showers down benefits on us. Then there is the wonderful effect of gratitude. For who was it that protected the child in such evident danger? Who was it that held him up by means of the holy monk and saved him from death? There is no doubt that it was God working by the ministry of his angels. And why did he do so? As a reward for the gratitude the pious woman showed him for the temporal blessings he had conferred on her. So true is it that he who is thankful for the first favor has already merited the second and holds it, as it were, in his hands. Oh, what a good God we have, who expects no other return from us mortals for his gifts and graces but gratitude, and that he expects solely with the view of bestowing fresh favors on us. Ah, Christians, which of us must not acknowledge that he is in need of the divine goodness every moment of his life? And who does not wish to receive still more numerous and greater benefits from God? Nothing is more agreeable than to receive a good thing that we are eager to possess. But gratitude is the key to the inexhaustible treasury of that Lord of infinite wealth. Go with confidence and ask of Him what you wish. All you have to do is to return thanks for what He has already given you, and the new gifts and graces are already prepared for you. Be nothing solicitous, is the exhortation given by St. Paul to the Philippians, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. For gratitude gives prayer its greatest efficacy. Do you wish, therefore, to be in good health? Then thank God for the health He has given you heretofore. Do you wish to have means to support yourself and your family? Then thank God for the daily bread He gives you. Do you wish to bring up your children well so that God may bless them? Then thank Him that He has preserved them in innocence up to this. Have you some affair on hand that you wish to bring to a successful termination? Thank God for having so often helped you in your business and aided you with His fatherly protection. Are you visited by suffering, crosses, or trials? Thank God for having saved you from still worse, which many others have to complain of. Have you suffered loss in your temporal affairs through misfortune? Thank God for having preserved you so long what His providence knew to be good for your good, and for having now taken it away for the same reason. Are you well endowed in temporal matters? Thank God for it, and through Christian charity, share your wealth with those who have nothing, that so God may preserve it to you. If you have little, then thank God for that too, and through gratitude, give to Him in the persons of the poor some of the little you possess. Again, if you have done anything for your soul to the honor and glory of God, return Him most humble thanks for the grace He has given you, without which you could not do the least good action. But you must know, my dear brethren, that to say to oneself, I do no good, as is the custom with many who undervalue and despise all their prayers, masses, Holy Communion, and the works of piety and devotion, although they try to do them well, and to look on them as if they were of no value whatever, is not humility, as those people imagine it to be, but ingratitude towards God, as St. Augustine says. For thus the grace of God is not appreciated and prized as it should be. No matter how small the good work is, you must look on it as a benefit from God and thank Him for it, that you may thus merit more grace and be able to do still more good. Know that you have some good in you, such are the beautiful words of St. Augustine, and know at the same time that you have nothing of yourself, so that you may neither be proud nor ungrateful. In a word, learn to be thankful even for the smallest benefit, and let not one gift go without expressing your gratitude for it, so that you may thus become worthy of greater favors. For, just as some cheap domestic medicine may sometimes cure a dangerous illness, so gratitude for small favors can avert great evils and bring down on you great graces and gifts from God. The grateful man, says St. Chrysostom, no matter how poor he may be in body and soul, he is already rich enough and need not fear to be left without any good thing. Thanksgiving is a vast treasure of graces, a great source of wealth, an inexhaustible fund of good. with which one can in a short time obtain from God all blessings and graces. A most interesting incident, which I cannot refrain from relating to you, is told by St. John Damascene in the lives of Saints Barlaam and Josaphat. A certain rich noble had chosen as the bride of his eldest son a young lady of noble birth also, and great personal beauty, but the son, he was unwilling to marry, stole away during the night to avoid his father's anger. On his way, he passed by the cottage of a poor peasant, whose daughter was sitting at the door, occupied in some manual labor, and at the same time unceasingly thanking and praising God. The young man listened with the greatest astonishment, and at last asked her, "Why do you thank God so fervently, as if you were fully provided with all earthly goods, although, as I well see, you are very poor?" "What?" answered the pious girl. "Do you not know that gratitude for small favors is sure to bring greater ones?" "It is true that I am poor, and the daughter of a lowly peasant, but nevertheless, I thank and praise my God unceasingly for the little he has hitherto given me, for I am certain that he who has given me that little can and will give me much more if it seems good to him. Yet I trouble myself little about earthly goods, for riches are most frequently a source of evil than of advantage to the soul. At all events, I know that God has bestowed countless graces on me, for he has created me out of nothing to his own image, and gave me reason in preference to many other creatures. He has saved me from eternal damnation by shedding his precious blood and giving his life for me on the cross. He has called me to the one true faith, and often made me partake of his holy sacraments. He has prepared his blissful heaven for me, and there, if I am true to him, I shall be happy with him forever. How, then, can I be sufficiently grateful to him for these good things, which the poor as well as the rich enjoy? And if I were to cease thanking him, how could I appear at his judgment seat?" So spoke the pious girl. The young man, captivated by the wisdom and piety she showed, at once asked her in marriage from the peasant, her father. "What?" said the old man. "Are you jesting with us poor people? Do you mean to say that you, a noble, wish to marry a poor peasant's daughter?" "Yes," answered the young man. "No other reason do I desire as my wife. If you only give your consent and she does not refuse me, then you will fulfill my dearest wish." "No," replied the old man. "I am now almost beyond my work, as you see, and I cannot let my daughter go from me." "Very well, then," said the other. "I will stay with you as long as you live." The peasant, being at last convinced of his earnestness, gave his consent. The young man, fully satisfied, kept his promise, and was fortunate enough to find a large sum of money hidden away in the hut belonging to the peasant, which went to increase the property to which he still remained lawful heir. So far, St. John Damascene. Is it not true, my dear brethren, that gratitude is a vast treasure and an inexhaustible fund of good things? The rich young man, who had refused to marry a young, beautiful, and noble lady, at last took to wife a poor peasant girl. Who brought that about? No one else but the God of infinite goodness and wisdom, by his all-seeing providence. The poor girl, who always thanked God for the little he bestowed on her, was suddenly raised to the height of good fortune and richly provided for, and she proposed more by her gratitude to God than many one nowadays who seeks to please and attract attention by extravagant dress and exposing herself to the admiration of the passers-by at the door or in the streets. It is a well-known fact that goods kept too long in the shop window are soon damaged, while those that are hidden away in the storehouse are always fit for sale. I repeat, then, that gratitude is a vast treasury of graces. Therefore, Christians, if you wish to obtain great favors from God, thank Him for small ones. But mark what that pious girl said. I do not trouble myself much about worldly goods. These are the least of the benefits that God bestows on us, although He does give them to the grateful. It is to heavenly, supernatural, and eternal goods that our wishes and desires should tend. And these we shall obtain in abundance from God, if we are only grateful to Him always. The grace of persevering in the friendship of God, the grace of a happy death, oh, what a magnificent grace! Can we desire any greater gift than that on which our happiness for eternity depends, and which is of the utmost importance for us? For no man, with all his good works, can merit it in the present arrangement of God's providence. And who will obtain that grace? Do you wish to know? He who during life was grateful to God. Hear the promise made by the Holy Ghost. The sacrifice of praise shall glorify me. That is, by gratitude I shall receive most honor. And there is the way by which I shall show him the salvation of God. The prophet David comforted himself with this assurance when he said, because I have not known learning, I will enter into the powers of the Lord. Or as some interpret it, because I cannot reach the number, I will enter into the powers of the Lord. This means, according to St. Bernard, I will enter into the kingdom of heaven because I cannot reach the number. What number? The number of the divine benefits and the praise due to God. And hence David says, I always consider the benefits bestowed on me by God, and I find their number so great that I cannot comprehend it. Therefore, I make no end of my thanksgiving, and unceasingly praise my benefactor, and that it is which makes me sure and confident of saving my soul. I will enter into the powers, the kingdom of the Lord. Ah, my God, if I am without this one grace, this last gift of final perseverance, which I must have to enter into thy eternal kingdom, of what good will all the other gifts and graces be to me? But if that is always prepared for me, then let temporal things go as thou wilt. I have enough for eternity. Oh, happy me, since I can purchase this inestimable gift from thee so cheaply by gratitude. I am resolved, then, to be more grateful than I have hitherto been, and never will I cease in all my actions, which shall be directed to thy honor and glory, to thank thee for all thou hast done for me. My first thought in the morning, when I awake, my last thought at night, when I retire to rest, all my thoughts, words, and actions during the day, whenever I think of thee, shall be nothing but a constant Deo gratias, thanks be to God. Eternal thanks be to God for all the good he has done me. Praise and honor be to the God of goodness, now and forever. Amen.